Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of mass construction. You may be seated. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Have you heard missionaries talk and say it's easier to get people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in foreign countries than it is in America? I don't know whether you've been around a lot of missionaries. It's easier to have great miracles, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the lame walk in foreign countries than it is America. Not having traveled abroad much, I don't know that that's true, but I assume because almost all of them say that, I assume that is true, and it is logical. Because the truth is, the more carnal we become, the less spiritual we are. And the less spiritual we are, the less we resolve ourselves to matters of faith. But he said, our weapons are not carnal. In other words, our weapons are not guns and knives. That's what's wrong with so many Christians. They're taking knife to a gunfight. The devil's getting serious. You might not have enough weaponry with you to be able to defend yourself from the devil if you're living on last year's faith. This is a new day, a new challenge. We need to arise to that occasion. And so when you see what's going on in this world, you have to say, I have to prepare myself. And so the Bible said the armory of the Lord is open. That means God's weapons are available to us, but his weapons are not carnal. That means we can't do it with education alone. It's great to have education. I would encourage every young person to get as much education as you possibly can. It looks great on your resume. It opens doors for you. But education alone is not the answer. Organization alone is not the answer. The church is better organized than it's ever been, better educated than it's ever been, and more anemic than it's ever been, all at the same time. The Bible said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You have begun in the Spirit, and now do you think you can be perfected in the flesh? In the Old Testament, he said, I've got two things against you. He said, you have left the wells of God, the eternal springing up wells of God, and you've hewn your own cisterns. God's saying you've turned away from spiritual weaponry, and you've picked up carnal weaponry. It strains the mind. And particularly when the mind becomes intellectual and educated, it strains the mind that these little things that God talks about can be supernatural. We can accept the message of David slaying the giant with one little rock, but can we think that God can do the very same thing to do in our behalf? That God can take the smallest of things and bring the giants that are against us to their knees? He can. He can. No matter how well educated you are, if you're going to be a soldier in the army of God, you have to realize his weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Through God. God's rock picks up velocity when it goes through him. David was not that great a shot. It was that God was guiding the rock. And so I've come to a place, and I started on it last week, about weaponizing our worship. Worship is one of the greatest weapons the church has. I know when you go to most churches, denominational churches, there's no worship there. There's somebody in front leading them. There's a Christian television show here in San Antonio that I watch regularly. And I watch it because it is literally a train wreck to me. I watch it because it's so bad. Not because they don't have good equipment. Not because it's not organized, but because it is so spiritless. I'm just fascinated that they can go through those motions week after week after week and actually keep a church building open and keep money coming in. But they do. But they don't have any weapons of the Spirit. Everything they do is carnal. It has nothing to do with the spiritual things. And if you go to most churches, you will find that that is absolutely true. That they come to what they call worship service. It's a worship service without any worship. You've got got somebody up in front leading the worship, leading the singing, and people sitting there watching them. That's not worship. The Bible said it does not. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. We're not spectators. God does not say, you're a worshiper and you're not a worshiper. I've got 10 worshipers, that's all I've got. God intends for every person that is a Christian to be a worshiper. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the truth is the Word of God. We are to worship him in the Holy Spirit and upon Jesus Christ's own words, his doctrine. And when we do that, something happens. And so we need to weaponize our worship. That worship is not just something we do to make ourselves feel good, but it's something that is literally involved in warfare. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not involved in a war. If you're not involved in a war, you're losing. You've already given up. The devil's already got your kids. The devil's already got your mind. Because the Bible said we are soldiers, not to entangle ourselves in the things of this world. Our number one priority is to war against the adversary. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. Greater works than these shall you do. We are to be devil fighters. We are to be able to bind demons. We're to be able to take advantage of the devil and secure safety for our children and for our families. And so when we weaponize our worship, it does so many things. I began talking about it last week. It gives us spiritual status. When you become a worshiper, you now have the attention of God. You say, well, God sees everybody. Oh, that's true. But he focuses in on certain individuals. If you are a true worshiper, God focuses in on you. That means you have more power than your cousin, more power than your friends, more power than your teachers, your professors. You are a powerful person because you know how to worship God. When I worship God, my mind sees it as it is. It's a battlefield. It's a battlefield. When I worship God, demons are going backwards and angels are coming forward. When I worship God, God himself is coming down to minister in my behalf. And so I covered it last week. Worship gives you status. Number two, when you weaponize your worship, it conquers the condemnation of religion. This is not a time of condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. They were condemned already. Condemnation is a terrible thing. Some people confuse condemnation with conviction. They're not the same at all. Condemnation is you're wrong. You have sinned. You've come short. You've failed. You're a failure. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's condemnation. When a man is condemned to death row, nothing he can do about it. That's condemnation. And the devil wants to condemn you to death row. Nothing you can do about it. You're going to go to hell and nothing you can do about it. You're lost and there's nothing. And he does that with your past. That's the reason why you do not want to become a prisoner of the past. My God is greater than my past. His forgiveness is greater than my sin. But conviction is something totally different. Conviction says, here's where you got off. And here's how you get back on. Here's the mistake you made, but God has fixed that mistake. Like the song we sang earlier, that mistake becomes a miracle. God has that ability, and that's the reason why we worship him. He's worthy of worship because he can't fail. God is worthy of worship because there's not a circumstance, a situation, or a sin that God cannot draw you out of. He is greater than, and just fill in the blank, greater than sin, greater than failure, greater than anything. God is greater. And if he is that great, then he deserves worship. I've said it before. We are not here to worship God because he is an egomaniac, and he's sitting there saying, I want somebody to brag on me. We're here to worship him because when we worship him, it goes not only to him, it goes through him and returns back to the circumstance we are in. And suddenly that circumstance that was insurmountable and unconquerable, suddenly we have victory over that because we praise God. And so the finite mind, the carnal mind, the intellectual mind, the man that puts all of his confidence in education will not understand worship. It's such a simple thing. It's so simple that a wayfaring man can find it, the Bible said. It's so simple that Jesus said, I want you to become like a little child and worship the Lord. That's the kind of worship he wants. But worship, when we weaponize our worship, it conquers the condemnation. And condemnation comes from where? Condemnation comes from religion. That's the reason why we have to escape religion. Religion will tell you you're lost. But religion does not tell you how to get saved. Only Jesus does that. Religion is all right. The Bible said religion that feeds the widows is a good thing. Religion is all right as long as it is with you and you're not under it. But when religion tells you you don't need to worship or you don't need to adhere to the Word of God, it will condemn you. And when those religious people saw those disciples coming to worship the Lord, the disciples had recognized who Christ was. The whole key to worship is knowing who he is. Jesus said, if you believe that I am he, as the scripture hath said. As the scripture said. You've got to know who Jesus is. You get a revelation of who Jesus is, and you will want to worship him. You won't have to go to a worship clinic. You'll just want to worship him. When you realize who he is. When you realize he is the creator that created us, and then when we fell as a race, Adam and Eve, and God said, I still love you so much, now I will come as the Son of God and rescue you. And no weapon can be formed against you that can prosper. And you begin to realize that nothing, that means no weapon can take me to hell. No weapon can defeat me. No weapon can overcome me. And when you get that burning in your brain, you will become a worshiper, not because somebody asked you to. Friend, you ought to worship the Lord so much that people ought to have to ask you to sit down. We say, let's all stand. We ought to be saying, let's all sit down. Because we want to worship the Lord so bad. Because of what he's done. Have you ever seen a man or woman that's really in love? Oh, they brag on people. Remember that, Becky? They brag on each other. My mother and daddy lived to be 83 years of age. I'm sure my mother was a beautiful woman when she was young. But when she was old, she looked like she's 83 years old. But not to my daddy. He'd say she hadn't changed a bit. Oh, look at her. It was embarrassing to go over there and just sit down. He'd start bragging, like Miss America was parading around in the kitchen. 83 years of age. That's what love does. When you love God, you won't let the devil ever say anything bad about God. You'll be worshiping him. You'll be glorifying him. And when they begin to worship, the disciples and the children begin to worship Jesus, and they cast down their coats that he could ride in on their clothing, the religious people said, rebuke them. Rebuke them. Make them shut up. That's what religion says. If you go to religious services primarily in America, they will be the quietest gathering in America. You ever think about that? Church is the quietest gathering in America. What if you went to a Spurs game and the same atmosphere was there that's in most churches? They couldn't function. They got these rodeos, and if you go to a rodeo now, they're just like the basketball game. They're begging people to worship. They say, clap your hands, get with the music. This is all the time. I about quit going to them because it's not like it used to be in the old days going to a rodeo. Now they're trying to make it like the NFL, and they want a lot of noise. But what if we went to a rodeo and it was like church? It wouldn't be a rodeo. Why is it that church is the quietest place? Because the devil wants it to be the quietest place. The devil does not fear silence. But the devil fears worship. Because he knows that worship is mighty through God and back down. It leaves your mouth But praise God, just like His word will not return void, your worship will not return void. Your worship goes through God and comes back down to earth. I've said it 1,000 times. Prayer goes from earth to heaven, but worship stays on the earth. He inhabits worship. What does that mean? If your worship stays on the earth, that means God has to come down to earth. God has to come down to earth. And let me just hasten to this point. And I'm not really there in my notes, but I want to get it in. The Bible teaches us there is a sacrifice of praise. There is a sacrifice of praise. What is the sacrifice of praise? The sacrifice of praise is a reaction that is exactly the antithesis of what's going on. It's exact opposite. That means, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, I had to do some business with a church leader this week. He is a sweet man, really is. But we're sitting there in the church office, and he's using GD in the church office while we're going through this business that I'm with this church. And he said, "I'm on the board," and he used 15 curse words in about 15 minutes. In the church office. Nice man. Just totally ignorant of the things of God. If you have got the Holy Spirit in you and you hit your thumb with a hammer, you don't curse God. You don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Praise God, I've hit my thumb 1,000 times, more or less. And when I do, I praise God I didn't hit it harder. I praise God it's still there. That's the sacrifice of praise. When somebody blesses you and you say, "Oh, thank God," that's not a sacrifice of praise. When you get a raise and you say, "Thank you, Lord, for the raise," that's not a sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise is when the boss comes in and says, "We're going to let you go. We're firing you." And you say, "Well, praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord." And you cast not away your confidence because you don't believe that job is your source. You don't believe that man is your master. You believe Jesus is your master and God is your source. And so in the face of that, you give forth a sacrifice of praise. Now, let me understand about preachers. Preachers are not preaching from a point of perfection. We're preaching from a place of we want to apprehend. I don't know where I am. I try to gauge everything on a scale of 1 to 10. It's just the easy way to do it. That's why we used to sell horses on the phone and say, "How good is he headed?" "Well, he's at 8 and 1 to 10. I mean, it was pretty good. And so I do the same thing in my faith and my relationship with the Lord. So he said, "Pastor, where are you on this from 1 to 10? This praising God with a sacrifice, that sacrificial praise. I don't know where I am. I'm not 10. I might be 7, maybe 6, maybe 8. I don't know where I am, but I'm working on it. It's just against everything in my carnal nature to praise God when things aren't going my way. When somebody hurts me, I don't say, "Thank you, Lord, for that individual." My first reaction is, "How can I hurt him back?" That's just your reaction. Somebody punch him, we'll punch him back. But when you get to where the Holy Spirit has got control of your life, you don't do that. You say, "Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm going to give God the praise. This is a terrible thing. But it won't be terrible long because the Lord will turn it around for my good because His word can't return void. It's going to come in my life. I'm going to learn to give the sacrifice of praise." Can you praise God in good things? Well, I can. Some people can't even do that. They can't even praise God for good things. But some of us that are spirit-filled, most of us can praise God for good things. But it's really a struggle to praise God when something is bad. But give God praise in every circumstance and every situation. No matter what's happening, I want to praise God. I want to praise God. You know, I know that people use the name of Jesus lightly. I don't ever do that. I don't drop my car keys and say, "Oh, Jesus." I'll tell you something I don't even do. You know, we've all got our little things. And this was really unique. Joel Osteen told me that he will not let any of his family members leave a room and leave a television going while they're out of the room. He said, you know why, Steve? I said, why? He said, I don't know what they're going to say while I'm out of the room, and I don't want that coming into my home. I don't do that, Joe. My TV just goes on and off all the time. But now every time I walk out of the room, I think, man, I'd like to be like Joel. What would Joel do? I said that to set this up. Some of you just say Jesus as a byword. Some of you just drop your car keys or some little say, oh, that's really mean it. When I use the name Jesus, it's a loaded gun. It's like Alec Baldwin getting ready to make a movie. I'm going to pull the trigger. Jesus. I consider, you know, I've got myself, I own about probably 75 guns. And every gun I have, anytime I pick it up, I consider it loaded. I don't point it at nobody because I consider it loaded. Even if I think it's unloaded, I'm going to act like it's loaded. But let me tell you about the name of Jesus. Every time I pick it up, I consider it loaded. And I'm going to handle it that way. I don't put the name of Jesus on my car keys. I put it on Tammy for a healing. I put it on Jerome for a blessing. I use the name of Jesus like it's a weapon, praise God. I praise God. Let me take it another step. I use the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is the universal word of praise. And I see people making you, they say, oh, hallelujah. I don't do that. That is a precious weapon to me. When I say hallelujah, it means Jehovah, I surrender myself totally to you in this situation and something's going to happen. Friend, I don't cry wolf. You know the story about crying wolf. He cried wolf so many times when there was a wolf, nobody came. There's so many people that use Jesus and use hallelujah that it means nothing to demons or angels. But when I use the name of Jesus, every devil knows I'm serious. When I use the word hallelujah, every angel knows I am serious, that I'm getting ready to attack a cancer. I'm getting ready to attack leukemia. I'm getting ready to attack sin. I'm getting ready to attack poverty. I'm gonna stay on this subject for a while until this church, until every one of us in this church have got the weaponry of praise in your life. Because I promise you, if you will learn to weaponize your praise, weaponize your worship, I can promise you it will change your health. It will change your health. I will change your health. The devil just keeps trying to kill me, but I keep fighting back. And every day is a testimony to the grace of Almighty God. I'm a praiser. I praise God in the good times. I praise God in the bad times. I praise God when it's full. I praise God when it's empty. I praise God when the devil is attacking. And I praise God when the angels are ascending. I praise God. My praise and my worship is a weapon in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to learn to do that. I want you to worship the Lord in this house. I've told you before, I've preached all over America in thousands of churches. And this is the best worshiping church that I've ever been in. But I want it to even be better. We don't want to compare ourselves with losers. The Cowboys feel good about themselves because they compare themselves to the Texans. No. We don't want to compare ourselves to losers. We want to compare ourselves to the apostles, to Jesus. Praise God. We don't want to say, well, we out-worship most churches. We're not against other churches. We're against the devil. I want you to become a worshiper in this church. I want you to worship from the beginning to the end. But I want you to learn to worship God while you're driving your car. I want you to learn to worship God in your house. I want you to learn to worship God on your job. I want you to learn to worship God in the hospital room. I've got a dozen stories that I can tell you right now what God does when you worship in the hospital room. I don't have time. I've got a dozen stories I can tell you about what God does when you worship God in the bank, but I don't have time. But take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, you can change your finance by your worship. You can change your healing by worship. You can change your children's destiny by worship. Your kids can go to hell from your house, even though you go to church. But if you fill your house with enough worship, your kids are not going to go to hell. They can't come out of that atmosphere and go to hell. It will saturate them where they want or not. Osmosis will take over in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that a weapon is not just something you do. It is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. It will literally sock the devil in the face. The devil will flee from worship. Hallelujah. 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 Sister, God's able to touch you right now.